This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. The lawn guru, Mitchell Mote, is with us this morning. Our phone number is 893-1450. Mitchell, of course, with the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Mitchell, how are you today?
Bart, I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you here today.
Well, I think this is a good place to be.
Big weekend ahead.
It is. Yes, indeed. A lot going on this weekend.
That lawn extravaganza.
The fall garden extravaganza, lawn and garden extravaganza, produced by the Rutherford County Master Gardeners Association, will be Saturday. Beginning at, I don't have it in front of me. I think 8 o'clock, though, that folks can start arriving there and maybe enjoying some early coffee and so on. And that will go on throughout the day. It'll be held in the community center building there at the Lane Agri Park. And you know, you say, what is the community center building? Well, it's also the building that houses the farmer's market.
Okay, and that's what I was wondering. When you said community center, I'm thinking an area where you have meetings, but it's back. You have two areas with meetings now.
Well, you see, that's it. And folks who visit and who patronize the farmer's market will undoubtedly always refer to that building as the farmer's market building. But in actuality, it's used for a number of other purposes. And so as such, it carries the official name is the Lane Agri Park Community Center. And there are a lot of other events that take place there. But as long as you know where it is, it doesn't matter what you call it.
That's right. And you'll have an opportunity not only to learn, but you'll have an opportunity to get some of the items you need from vendors who will be there.
Yes, I think that they have a good lineup of vendors in their trade show area. Have some good speakers lined up. I know they've got three really good ones. They've got four speakers. I know three of them are really good.
Are you downgrading yourself?
Well, I don't want to. Yeah, I'm one of the four. So I know they have three others that are going to be just very good. And maybe I can hold it together long enough to get through it anyway.
So that's coming up Saturday at the Lane Agri Park, where the farmer's market is normally.
Yes, it is. And you know, not only are there the defined speakers and, you know, the speaking times and so on and those defined topics, but also there are practical demonstrations, hands-on demonstrations, show and tell, you know, mm-hmm. just however you want to describe it. But the master gardeners themselves will be showing and demonstrating how to do things. I know, and I cannot remember all of the different demonstrations. I know one has to do with rain barrels, building and utilizing rain barrels and rain gardens, composting, maybe using compost, making a tumbling composter, or if it's just compost in the pile or batch system, I'm not sure, but I know they have one on composting and others. You know, if you wanted to get a full schedule, you could just do a Google search for Rutherford County Master Gardeners, and they'll bring their site up, and it has a link there to the garden extravaganza, and it has a full schedule. So I think it'll be a good weekend.
You need to put that on your calendar. That is Saturday, right there at the Lane Agri Park.
At Lane Agri Park, yeah.
And a good opportunity to check it out. And of course, while we're talking about the Lane Agri Park, the big farmer's market is tomorrow.
It'll be, tomorrow morning, Friday morning, 6 a.m.
Moves quickly, doesn't it?
It goes quick, yeah.
Now, that's going to happen all the way through October, isn't it?
It will go through the end of October, and there are this year going to be extended fall and winter hours to the farmer's market. And I hesitate to try to tell you exactly what those are because it seems as if I do not remember things as precisely as I once did. But I know that those hours will offer a Sunday afternoon market, and it will run up through or into December. I won't say that it'll be through December, but into December, I'm pretty sure. But again, if you would check the Rutherford Farmers Market there on Facebook, you give Janie Becker, the Farmers Market Manager, a call if you want more details about that. But I think that I heard Janie say the other day that she had 14 or 15 vendors that had contracted to run through this extended fall market season. So it seems as if there's going to be a pretty decent selection of garden or produce items there.
Now, what kind of produce is grown on into December? Do you have a good selection?
It depends on the grower because if they have season extenders, and by that I mean shelters, know, whether it's greenhouse or whether high tunnel structures or whatever, you know, it's certainly possible to have if a person set up right, they can have strawberries in November.
Wow.
Or they could have tomatoes in December. I'm not going to try to speak and tell you what they will have because I don't know what all the growers are doing. But suffice it to say, there will be you know, you'll find herbs there, you'll find salad greens there, you know, cool season crops for sure. But I suspect you'll find other out of season items as well. But I hesitate to try. I can't speak for what they're going to have.
Now, there was a time, I guess it was last year or a year before, that the government was encouraging farmers to get into some additional types of farming with hydroponics and things of that sort. Did that go, and is this the end result of that?
I don't know that it's necessarily the end result of that. It's just something that if a person is a grower that caters to a farmer's market type marketing system, then anything that they can do to increase their productivity is going to be of a benefit to them. And so they, you know, the more innovative ones and the more successful ones are going to be looking for opportunities to increase sales and utilizing season extenders such as these high tunnels, which are basically just kind of static greenhouses, as well as heated and, you know, climate control greenhouses, things of that sort, row covers, you know, shade type structures to block out sun and so on, things like that, or hydroponics. Now, you know, there's not a lot of hydroponics going on in this part of the world. Here locally there's not, but in some places I'm sure that there is more than is happening here, but it's not being done on a wide scale right here.
Now, this time of the year is a good time of the year to plant trees and shrubs, and some of the
farmers are good. I tell you what, today the sun's shining right now, and if I understood the forecast correctly, there may be a chance for showers this evening.
62 right now.
If you needed to plant some cool season turf grass, primarily tall fescue, and if you don't have anything else to do today, by all means do it, because this will be a fine day. The ground is full of moisture, it's soft, it will take cultivation very easily. You know, if you run a plug aerator out there today, actually it might, in some places it'll probably be too wet to run a plug aerator today, but a spiker aerator or a light dethatcher across the lawn to cultivate that surface of the soil a little bit, or use a splits or a slit seeder or a combination seeder aerator, just some tool to cultivate the ground and put those seed in the ground, and then get a little light shower on it this evening or another rain over the next couple of days, gosh, you'd hit a home run. You know, the folks that had that grass out a week or so ago, I bet they've already got some coming up now. Boy, this is the time to do that. You're not gonna see better conditions than what we're seeing right now for seeding tall fescue, those cool season turf grasses. If you want Bermuda grass, well, just wait, because it's too late for it this year. You have to plant that in the summertime, you know, after the danger of frost has passed. But now is the time to plant those cool season grasses. And then if you get caught up on all that, yeah, we're moving into the season when it is a good time to plant shrubs and put out trees. You know, the fall of the year, October is traditionally a relatively dry month if you look at statistics. I don't know what October of 2011 is going to be, but we move into cooler times, and obviously, you know, this morning it was 59 degrees when I got in the truck to come into town. It's about 61, 62 degrees right now. This is obviously cooler than it was a month ago, and it's going to continue along that pattern. You know, cool season, those shrubs and trees, especially the deciduous ones, but even the evergreen ones, they're going to be going into dormant period. It's perfect time to put those in the ground, because even though the plant itself is dormant when we think think of growth on the plant, in normal we're thinking about above ground growth, you know, shoots and stems and leaves and that sort of thing. But root development still continues, and a good root system is the key to the whole survivability of the plant. And at cooler temperatures, a lot of root development is taking place. So you've got a plant that is put in the ground this time of the year, on up into October, into November. It has that many months and that many days to develop a root system. And the more root system it has when you go into the stresses of the next summer, the better its chances of surviving are going to be. Plus, we're in that time of the year when we tend to see, you get past October, normally you see a better rainfall pattern. And you don't have to worry about watering them so much, because if you put a plant in the ground, you're going to have to water it if nature doesn't do it for you.
And, of course, we're getting close to that time where Dwayne Trail is working on his folklore winter forecast.
Dwayne is going to come out of retirement and do the folklore forecast one more time, at least one more time.
And maybe we can twist his arms into keeping it up.
He's small, but he's wiry. It may take some twisting, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was surprised at how few, in fact, I'm not even sure I remember any fogs in August this year, which determines, the
I think
the
there
snowfall.
Were some evening fogs.
Were
there
those
were some
count?
Night fogs.
Evening fogs?
A fog is a fog, as far as I know.
Okay.
But, again, I would defer to Dwayne.
Okay. 893-1450 is our number. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning, 893-1450. Mitchell Mote is with us this morning. We're having a ball. We'll be back, and we'll open up that phone line. If you have any lawn or garden questions, give us a call, 893-1450. Stay with us, won't you?
When the music fades, and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, this is Susan Woolsey, and I'm the Customer Relations Manager for Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been here 11 years.
Same employees, same great service.
Same folks on the service lane. We've got Albie Holt, who's been here, I think, 18 years now. Joe Ellis, who's been here 20 years. We've got salespeople who have been here for a long time. Most of the management's the same.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning, Rutherford County. As you make your way to work this morning, guys, be aware things have slowed down quite a bit along 840 right around West Jefferson Pike, traveling eastbound and going all the way over to about Highway 70, so be careful in that area. Everything else along I-24 looks pretty good at the moment. Don't forget, guys, starting at 8 o'clock, we do have some lane closures between Southeast Broad Street and College Street along Maney Avenue as construction continues. Get a $39 introductory massage at Massage Envy today. Gift cards are available for any occasion. That's Massage Envy of Cool Springs, Brentwood, and Hendersonville. With your WGNS traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Thank you, John. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have increasing cloud cover for the forecast area. High temperature near 80 degrees and a calm wind becoming north around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fellhuber. Right now, 63.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Good Neighbor Talk on WGNS Murfreesboro.
It's up to you.
To you.
You know I've done everything I can. I hope that you.
Hey, welcome back. Our phone number is open. It's 893-1450. If you have a question dealing with lawns and gardens this morning, 893-1450. And, of course, that big fall extravaganza is coming up this weekend at the Lane Agri Park, sponsored by the Master Gardeners here. Might even be an opportunity, if you are lucky, to figure out how to sign up for one of the classes to be a Master Gardener.
Well, I expect there'll be opportunity to learn that.
You think it might be?
I imagine there will be.
Okay.
I would also point out that this being the appropriate Thursday of the month, this is a brown bag lunch day. Brown bag lunch program will be 11:30 to 12:30 there in the auditorium at Lane Agri Park. I think the topic today will focus on the vegetable garden as it transitions out of summer into fall, some things you might look at doing with that vegetable garden. And if you are interested in that topic, you can bring your lunch and sit back and enjoy that and hear the talk and ask questions, maybe learn a little bit more about vegetable gardening, especially in the fall of the year.
That's a big, big topic right now.
Well, it is. You know, we think about springtime, or very often folks will look at springtime as a real busy time in the lawn and the landscape and in the garden, and it is. But I don't know that it's any busier in terms of the opportunities that this time of the year offers. Because, gosh, right now you can plant grass seed and you can plant, you put out bulbs, you know, mm-hmm. spring flowering bulbs for a good color show this coming spring. You've got the opportunities for your fall color as far as bedding plants into your annual beds, you know, the pansies and the chrysanthemums and the ornamental cabbages and so on, plants like that. There's starting to be a good selection of those in the garden centers and retail outlets. This is an excellent time to put those things in the ground. If you're looking at you know, spring flowering bulbs, daffodils and tulips and things of that sort, you know, now is a good time to establish new beds. Iris, you know, if you've got a bed of iris, it just didn't bloom as well as it has in years past, and they've been there a few years, you know, chances are they're starting to get crowded because iris divide, or they multiply pretty rapidly, and they will benefit a great deal from an occasional dividing and thinning them out some. This is a time of year to do that.
And so how do you do
that? It's a great way to share, too, because, you know, when they multiply, when you thin them out, when you divide them, you're going to take some from that existing planting and you're going to put them somewhere else. Or if you don't have a place to put them, share them with somebody else so they can put mm-hmm. them in their yard. And you can trade around, you know, get different colors and so on. The way you do it, you know, you dig, first of all, cut the foliage back. We're talking about an iris now. Cut it back so you've got a fan or a little spread of 2 or 3 inches or so, at least, you know, large enough to kind of handle a little bit and kind of see where it is. And then dig them up. Dig them up and clean the soil off of them. You might let them just air cure, you know, for a few hours out in the sunlight, and then you divide the rhizomes. You cut them apart, okay, and then you replant them into back into the same bed and some back into a new bed. You know, it's easy to do. Iris are pretty easy to grow, and now's the time that you want to do that. You know, peonies, you know, normally we think about doing those next month, but gosh, we're past the middle of September now. We're starting into the final third of the month, I guess. So if October is the good time to do peonies, well, you know what, you're almost there, and I'll bet a lot of those peonies don't read the calendar that close. So if you want to divide some, you might get away with doing it right now.
You know, and giving the irises to people, I remember when we moved to where we live right now, and mm-hmm. we've lived there now 30 years, so that's a good while.
You got a good memory.
There was one lady who gave us several irises, mm-hmm. and each year I think about her. She's passed on now.
Yeah,
but
every time you see them blue,
yeah,
it brings that back. Yeah, I have some there that I have moved from my home, my boyhood home, and I've moved them two or three times, and they're double blooming iris. They'll bloom in the spring and in the fall of the year too, and that's always neat. I'm reminded of home, you know, when I see those things bloom.
So, you know, those are the little side benefits, just some memories.
Absolutely. And there's just a multitude of colors of these various plants out there. And this is a great way to share those to you know, increase the colors that you have of a given plant and to share it with other folks out there.
By the way, if you have a story you'd like to share with us about iris or sharing some other plants with people, call us at 893-1450. We're always encouraging people to meet their neighbors and take them some cookies, but we've never talked about iris.
Those iris will last a lot longer than the cookies, although the cookies will stick with you a long time, too, in the form usually of fat, I guess. But that's okay. We've got to have some fat in our lives in order to live, but a little color from flowers is always a positive thing, too.
That's right. 893-1450 if you have a lawn or garden question or comment this morning or a story about an iris. 893-1450. And if you're really new to town, the iris is our state flower.
The state of Tennessee flower. Yes, indeed.
And that usually means that it would probably grow real well here. I mean, it's not difficult.
It's pretty well. It's not hard to grow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and you just need a spot in the sun, a piece of ground in the sun, and you can just about grow an iris. And you'll see them growing in the shade. They don't bloom nearly as nicely in the shade, but they will survive there.
That'd be cruel to have a state flower that was difficult to grow in that state.
Oh, it would, yeah. Oh, you've got to have a master's degree in flower growing to grow the state flower. That'd be pretty tough. But you know, Bart, this we're talking about this being a time of year that so many opportunities are available. You go out and you say, well, okay, my grass, you know, if you've got tall fescue lawn, the grass has improved. It's rebounded. And it's nice and green again. If you're not going to overseed, now's the time to fertilize those cool season grasses for the fall. We suggest that you do the majority of your fertilization in the fall, the September, October, November months. Very little fertilization do we suggest, we being the University of Tennessee Extension, that you fertilize those grasses in the spring of the year, just a little bit, but you know, 3/4 of that fertilizer we suggest that you should apply in the fall of the year. It just makes better sense. The grass is better able to utilize it, and you'll have a stronger, healthier turf in the long run if you'll do that. Those places where the ground or where the grass was thinned out a little bit due to the summer. I mean, if you're growing tall fescue, if you didn't have some thinning take place this year, you are very fortunate. Or you're one heck of a turf manager, because that's a cool season grass growing it in 100 degree weather. It's going to take a beating. Well, look real closely in those thinned out areas. You know, if you don't have a desirable grass growing there, something else will grow there. Nature's going to make sure that that happens. These winter annual broadleaf weeds are germinating like crazy right now. You know, there are places where they are absolutely as thick as the hair on a cat's back. You can see little chickweed seedlings that have emerged. You know, September's when that's going to happen. You can see little henbit seedlings that are just growing thick as hair. You can see little annual bluegrass seedlings that are out there growing right now. So what's the big deal? Now, you've got these little tiny baby weeds. If you want to control winter annual broadleaf weeds with a post-emergent product, right now they're very, very juvenile. It would be easy to do, because it doesn't take a lot of herbicide to control those young emerging weeds. So now's the time to think about that. If you've had patches where you had chickweed, henbit, dead nettle, wild onions, they're coming in right now too. If you've had areas where you've had that problem in the past, I'll bet you there's some coming up right now, and now would be a good time to make an herbicide application to control those. Now, if you're going to be planting grass seed, you don't make an herbicide application, but if you're not worried about planting grass seed, you can do it very readily right now.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if y'all can, let me cut this radio off. I don't know if y'all can answer this question, and or I don't even know if I should be asking it, y'all talking about flowers. My next door neighbor asked me, was we covered up with fleas and ticks in our yard? Now, mind you, we live in the city. Now, I live in Cannon County, and we live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very bad problem with them up there in the city. And we put down we've sprayed, we put down this brown looking little itty pea ball stuff, you know, that's supposed to be put down before it rains, and it's supposed to activate it when it rains and all this stuff. And my poor neighbor, bless her little heart, she said that her daughter's dog, she finally had to take them to the co-op and get them dipped because they were just flat out covered up and she had tried everything. And we're running out of options. And do y'all have any ideas what we can do? I've never in my life, as old as I am, no problems to be this bad. And I'm leaning on the hot summer that we've had, but is there anything that we can get? I'm going to hang up and listen to y'all. Okay. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you for calling. Have you heard anything about that, a massive flea and tick problem over in Cannon County?
That's first I've heard of it, Bart.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. You know, fleas and ticks, if they're going to survive, at some point in life they're going to have some blood from a mammal, okay, or from a warm-blooded critter anyway. And if you don't have those animals there, especially the fleas, they're not going to be there. So, you know, she talked about the neighbor's dog being covered up with them, that sort of thing. You've got to break the cycle somehow. And, I mean, the fleas are not going to – they're not going to survive in perpetuity without having that host there to feed on.
So taking the dog to the co-op is good?
You know, clean the animals up.
Yeah.
All right. Now – then you've got, you know, in the environment out there, you do have a flea infestation. Then those adult fleas that are there, they have laid eggs and so on, and they're going to hatch. And then when they hatch and the dog's running around back out there, are the cats. And you know, folks blame dogs, but there's so many fleas on cats as there are on dogs. Plus, what walks through your yard at night?
Hmm.
You know, what comes through there? There are a lot of coyotes in this part of the world, and coyotes do visit home lawns in the nighttime. You have possums and you have squirrels all over the place. You know, I'll bet you if they've got a lot of trees and so on, they have any acorns or hickory nuts and so on there, they've got squirrels. Squirrels can carry fleas. You know, possums can carry fleas. Raccoons can carry fleas. So, you know, there's an excellent squirrel population this year. There's an excellent rabbit population this year. So the thing is, you know, as long as you've got hosts that are still coming around, and birds can carry fleas as far as that goes, but they carry mites really, is probably more so than they do fleas. But as long as you have these hosts that can reinfest or help repopulate an area, you're not going to necessarily stop that cycle. So if it's, you know, on the dogs, you know, you do get them cleaned up, and then you take steps to try to eliminate fleas and ticks out in the lawn area itself where the dogs have access to it. You know, there are a number of good products out there. Utilize those products as directed. Some are aimed at killing adults only. Others are aimed at killing adults as well as helping to break the life cycle so they'll stop laying eggs. You know,
what are those called?
Work. They're just different insecticides. You just, mm-hmm. you know, look for the mode of action. They're just labeled for controlling fleas, for instance, or controlling ticks and fleas and so on. Pyrethroid-type insecticides, and you have the IGRs, the growth regulators, that would help break up that egg-laying ability and so on. But, you know, if you just do the one thing, you're not going to stop it. You have to break the entire cycle. So you clean the yard up, but then the critters that come back in, they're infested with fleas. They won't keep it clean forever, okay? The products will not keep it clean forever. They're not going to stick around a long time because we've asked for that. As a society, we've asked for, you know, that the pesticides don't remain in the environment for a long period of time. So they're not going to persist for a long period of time in most cases. So they're going to be more readily able to reinfest that area. So you get it cleaned up and you've got another infested animal that comes through there, and they reinfest the area, and the cycle just keeps going on and on. So you've got to go through the entire process to do that. But is this year any worse than any other? I have personally not heard or visited with anyone that has suggested that they had a worse problem with ticks or fleas this year than any other year. Actually, there have been some years that I have visited with more people, especially about ticks being a problem, than I have this year. You know, from a personal standpoint, I probably found more ticks on me this year than I did last year. But, you know, seasons have something to do with that. Populations, they ebb and flow. Just like this year, there's such a strong population of squirrels. There's a lot of nuts out there. At some point, though, that population is going to build up, and it's going to crash back again. You know, it's going to come back down because, you know, the environment will only support so many, and those populations tend to fluctuate.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you this morning? Hello there.
Is that me?
That is you. Good morning.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to ask Mitchell, can you give me any advice about how you grow broccoli here? Because I ain't had much success with it, and I was wondering if you got any good tips on how to grow broccoli. And you know, broccoli is it's related to cabbage, and I grow cabbage is pretty much easy to grow, but I don't got no success with broccoli, and I was wondering maybe if you had some advice on that.
Okay. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Let me ask you something. Tell me what's been happening with the broccoli. I mean, what you've been
to it? It don't even produce at all. I mean, it don't do nothing. I'm thinking it might be the climate here or the soil or something. It's not suitable for that here. And do you know anybody maybe has produced that? Had success with it here.
Yes, sir. I mean, there's several folks grow broccoli and do very well. So you're telling me you put out plants and they just sit there, they don't grow, they don't do much of anything?
Right.
Okay. Well, then, number one, what are you doing as far as the ground is concerned? I mean, what steps have you taken to kind of improve that ground? Are you adding organic matter to it? What kind of fertilization program are you following?
Well, I put a little bit of hog manure in it. Other than that, I don't do much.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that good? I don't even know if that's the right fertilizer for it or not.
Well, I mean, any of the animal manures like that, whether you're talking about hogs or cows or horses or sheep and so on, you know, that's a good addition. Now, probably hog manure would not be the number one. There's some better than it. Horse manure or sheep or goat manure would be better. Even cow manure would be better than hog manure simply because of the way the digestive system on those beasts work. The manure from those other animals is a better choice. Now, you know, they are definitely a cool season plant, and they're not going to do well in the heat at all. So you got to get them out at the right time. You got to get them out early or late. You know, late being this time, you can grow broccoli this time of the year too. Insects can be a real problem on those. If you've got your fertility where it needs to be, insects can be a problem. Now, back to the ground again. They don't like a ground that's going to hold a lot of water up around them. The water needs to drain pretty well. So the addition of some compost in an area where you're going to try to grow broccoli would probably be a benefit to it. But you put those plants out there, you know, you add your fertilizer in the soil as you put them out, ensure that they have adequate moisture. And as they start to grow and develop, you know, then you're going to see them starting to form the broccoli, the heads on them, I guess. You want to watch them close for insect problems there. They can be they can really decimate a broccoli crop if you let them. But as far as it being a widespread problem, no, I mean, folks are growing it every season here and, you know, doing very well with it.
Okay. One more thing.
Yes, sir.
You said that the time you plant them is important. What time is the best time to plant broccoli?
You can put broccoli out if you've got your ground ready for it. You can put broccoli out some years in February, latter part of February. Yeah. And again, it depends on the season. I mean, I can't say that, boy, next February you'll be able to put broccoli out. I mean, if there's 3 feet of snow on the ground, I don't think y'all do that. But
I believe you're right about that because the time is important of whether they'll produce or not.
Oh, it is. And they don't like the heat. I mean, when it gets hot on them, they're just not going to grow very good.
Yeah.
And if you put them out late, you know, it's like growing onions. You put onions out in May, you put them out in June, and if you want green onions, you're okay. But if you're trying to grow an onion, you know, bulb, a big onion to slice, hey, you probably waited too long to do it, and you're just not going to make before it gets too hot on them.
Okay, appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you on that, too. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens. We're talking about insects. And now, back to the lady in Woodbury.
Yes.
If we had a good cold winter, would that break that cycle? If it did, how cold does it have to be? Are we going to have to look at 0 degrees for a week or two? Or is that what breaks the cycle? Would that help it?
Bart, they tell me that we have gone through ice ages, you know, here in this world, and I take that to mean that we're covered with snow and ice and so on. That didn't stop them. They're still here. Travel to Minnesota. Travel to Washington State. You know, I spent some time in Washington State as a youth at a beautiful place called Fort Lewis, Washington, and would have to wear a field jacket in July because it was cool. But you go into the woods up there at night, even though you had a field jacket on, and the mosquitoes were so loud that you could just hear them all around you. Minnesota, you know, known for very hard, cold winters. They have some of the finest mosquitoes in the world, some of the finest horseflies you'll ever run across. They survive. Will cold weather reduce a population? Probably so. But those things breed fast, and they build back up.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you dig up asparagus now and move it? Or if you move it, does it hurt it? Or just tell me about asparagus.
Okay. Well, you know, how long has it been growing there?
This is about the 5th year.
Okay, so it's productive, right? So it's producing.
Yes.
Now, are you just wanting to kind of thin it out some, or you want to move the whole planting?
I'm going to move it.
All right, move it all entirely. You can move your asparagus without killing it. You may see a reduction in growth and production the next year, but you can certainly move it and make it survive. That should not be an issue for you. I can't really say that it's going to produce as well in 2012 as maybe as it did in 2011 if you move it. But if it's in a bad spot or it's in a spot that you need to move it from, by all means, in order to keep the planting alive, I'd sure go ahead and move it. And then if I did have reduced production, all right, I'll just expect that. If it does produce pretty good, then that's a bonus. But this fear that in 2000 or the next year, it should be going back to pretty much like it was before.
Is that like move it now?
Yes, ma'am. This is, you know, this time of the year. Now, is it still growing very much? Let me ask you that.
No.
Okay. Yeah, and I didn't think it would be, but if it slowed down, these days have gotten short enough that the day length, the number of sunlight hours start to influence the way those plants grow, and you can move it now, and it'll survive. I would suggest that you go ahead and get your new location prepared, get it ready, and just kind of move it. Don't leave it laying out for 2 or 3 hours after you dig it up.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and move it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, you're welcome.
Now, as she prepares that new location, would it be smart to do a soil test on it to get it ready that way as well?
Well, a soil test is always... I don't know that you can soil test too much, Bart. It's hard to go wrong by soil testing. And a basic soil test is a $7 investment. I think I can speak for the majority of folks. I shouldn't do that, but I suspect we've all wasted more than $7, and I don't think you're wasting $7 if you have a soil test done. And the soil test is sure going to tell her if she needs to adjust soil pH and what she needs to do in terms of phosphorus and potassium for that soil, as well as maybe if she needs to add any additional calcium and some magnesium and things like that, which she would add if she added lime to it, if she adjusted the pH. But let's say that, gosh, she's ready to do that this weekend. She can move it and then still have her soil test done after she puts the things in the ground. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty about adjusting pH. You can do it most any time of the year. Now, ideally you'd have it adjusted prior to putting, the plants in there, whether it's a grass seed or whether it's a tomato plant or whether it's an asparagus root or whatever the case may be. But the thing is, gosh, spend time to get the soil prepared good. If you want to put it in an asparagus bed, it needs to drain well. So you take time, you add some good organic matter, some compost, things like that, and get it worked in good. And then if you have to adjust, add a little lime to it maybe, you can do that a bit later once you find out. But if they're going to build a deck and they're fixing to excavate the ground and it's going to take in the asparagus bed, I'd move the asparagus bed to my new location. And then, if I didn't have time to get the soil tested, I'd do that later.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic, weather. We'll be back and take some more phone calls. Mitchell Moat's with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. The number again, 893-1450.
Come on, baby, let the good time roll. Come on, baby, let me thrill your soul. Come on, baby, let the good time roll. Roll all night long. Come on, baby, yes, this is it.
an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM,
overnight, every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASE-certified technicians get your car road-ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service, on Broad Street, across from Advance Auto.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I probably was the most stubborn human being on the face of the earth to have to come to the fact that I needed help.
Stay independent, at home, in charge.
Never be afraid to ask. You're able to keep yourself in your home. Those choices can be given to you.
We do a great job with our clients, but we try just as hard to support and be there for our caregivers.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
WeatherEye.
We'll have increasing cloud cover for the forecast area, high temperature near 80 degrees, and a calm wind becoming north around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fellhuber. Right now, 63.
Now friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta Leather Sectional. Regular $10.99, they have it for $7.49. They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Perry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
And by
G. Gordon Liddy is on the Good Neighbor Network.
It's I, the G-Man.
G. Gordon Liddy, weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
We're back. Go 893-1450 is our number. Mitchell Moats with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Just have a question for you about the peonies. Is it time to cut those back? I'd like to cut them back so I can clean out the beds.
Okay.
Okay. You know, peonies, being a summer bloomer or summer growing plant, their growth has really slowed down a lot. Of course, blooms have been faded now for a long time. And, you know, normally folks are going to think about, or it's really suggested that they move those, and he's not really talking about moving them, but they do that kind of work on them in October. But, you know, if you cut them back right now, you're not really going to hurt a whole lot by doing that, because they have pretty well done what they're going to do for the year. They've had ample opportunity to take in sunlight and to transfer that, or to turn that into energy through that magic photosynthesis. Now, what kind of shape is the foliage in, though? How does it look right now?
The foliage still looks good.
Okay, yeah, still got a lot of green in it, I guess, and it's not spotted up too bad. I mean, if you wanted to give it just the... let it do the very absolute best that it could do, then yeah, you'd probably wait until up into the month and it starts to fade on you a little bit. But you know, generally you do it before frost. However, if you're in a push and you need to do it now, you're not going to severely damage that plant by cutting the foliage off now.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, you're welcome.
893-1450 is our number. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. Mitchell Moats with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Want to remind everyone once again, the brown bag lunch is today, 11:30.
Brown bag lunch today, 11:30 to 12:30. Vegetable gardening as it transitions from the summer into the fall period is going to be the topic.
11:30, that's free at the Lane Agri Park.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Yeah, doing pretty good. I wanted to ask Mitchell about, I live out in Smyrna on Rocky Fork Road, out at the Glade, and We got a bunch of those cactus. How do you get rid of those cactuses?
Yeah, you got a lot of prickly pear.
Yeah, prickly pear. That's what my cousin calls them.
Yeah, he's right, too. Well, you can go about it different ways. You know, one way is, you dig them up and you've gotten rid of them. Of course, that's always a viable option. It may not be feasible, but it's certainly viable. Now, if you're going to want to treat those with herbicide to control them, you're going to need to use something that's going to allow that stuff to penetrate that waxy coating, because they've got just a waxy coating, and you pour water on them, it just runs right off, just kind of like water off a fresh wax car hood. So you're going to have a surfactant added to that that's going to help that stuff adhere to it. And in all honesty, you can utilize a mixture that uses some fuel oil as part of the herbicide mixture, but a product called Remedy herbicide with some fuel oil can be effective. There's also another product. Now, is this growing like in a pasture area or just in your lawn?
Yeah, it's kind of like in the lot.
Okay. So you could use some Remedy on it there. There's another product that's called... I'm going to totally blank. I hate it when that happens. But there's no need to mention it. It is a restricted use product, and you'd have to have a private applicator's license or a commercial applicator's license to buy it. But the one I was trying to think of, so I don't guess it matters unless you have that license. But the Remedy will do that. You could even use a dicamba material. For instance, a Trimec. It has 2,4-D dicamba and Mecaprop in it with the addition of some fuel oil or a good non-onyx surfactant to help penetrate that. But I have seen some good luck using the Remedy and the fuel oil mix, as well as Grazon is the one I couldn't think of. Grazon, that's a pasture herbicide that is restricted use product.
Now if you cut them with the lawnmower, does that make them spread out more? Or?
Well, it's kind of pruning, you know, and usually pruning does encourage a little bit of growth, especially, and those things tend to grow laterally, so it would encourage probably some lateral spread on them. But if you did cut them with the mower, and while they have a fresh cut before that thing seals back over, you might increase your herbicide uptake.
Oh, okay.
Now, that formula using, say, the Remedy herbicide with and Remedy is just a brand name. Triclopyr is the ingredient in it. You can find other products that buy them in smaller quantities, say, than a gallon of Remedy, but you're just looking for the Triclopyr product in there, although the Remedy does have a good percentage of Triclopyr in it. Keep in mind that if you use that with a fuel oil surfactant product or a surfactant mix, then that's for spot spray only. You're not going to go out and spray that on grass or whatever, because it will kill the grass. Now, just the Remedy will not kill the grass, but when you add the fuel oil to it, being like diesel fuel, and we're not talking a large quantity of that stuff, but just enough to help absorb or stick to the coating of that, that would kill the grass, but you can sure spot spray it where the cactus are.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Dig them up.
Or dig them up.
Yeah, dig them up. Or maybe if you have some children that you want to instill some character in, that would be a good job for them.
Dig up prickly pears.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's going to do it for our program today. All the lines are still full. We have a full group of people wanting to ask questions.
We piqued some interest here on the tail end of the show, apparently.
We have to run, though. Mitchell, thank you for joining us
today. All right. And listen, they can always call us at the Extension Service Office, 898-7710, 8 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. I'll be back there in a bit. I'm not going straight back now, but I'll be back there later today if you need to call or ask a question.
All righty.
WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com.